Welcome back to Through the Word, Genesis 39 today. Have you ever had a dream about your future? A vision of God's plans for you? Somewhere between crazy long-shot hope and unshakable destiny. And just when you thought things were really happening, you arrive at a place where everything comes together in violent opposition to that dream. If so, you're in good company. Can you think of a Bible hero who didn't go through it? Moses, Elijah, David, Daniel, all the disciples, Jesus himself, and here, Joseph, the dreamer. He dreamed of something great, and it's not as if Joseph invented that dream. God gave it to him. He doesn't know exactly what it means at this point. All he knows is that life is definitely not headed in the direction of his dreams. He just got sold into slavery by his own brothers. Not exactly greatness. Joseph's story is a phenomenal illustration of Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. It's also a powerful picture of Jesus. The one destined to save the world was sold for a few shekels of silver. But Joseph doesn't know all of that yet. All he knows is that he has a new master in a new country. Verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him. Potiphar, powerful man in a powerful country. As captain of the guard, he's basically Pharaoh's secret service chief. And verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. Now this is amazing. God was with Joseph. What strikes me is what is not recorded here. We have no account of Joseph's trauma, of shackles, of being treated like property, of losing his family. In Egypt, not a single person knows his face from Adam. But the story doesn't dwell there. Joseph gets sold into a lousy job, and he gets to work, like he's working for God or something. And don't miss the connection to Jesus. Joseph went from favorite son to unknown servant. Imagine that. Grasp it. And then remember Jesus, who went from his father's side to being born in a feeding trough, to a poor family, to be a servant to all. As for Joseph, he never dwelt on his hardships. He refused the life of self-pity. He just got to work. Verse 3. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Now that is remarkable. Remember, this kid is 17, but he works hard. He's industrious, diligent, obedient, creative. He just worked. In the worst of situations, he did his best, and God honors hard work. When God blessed the work, Potiphar noticed and put Joseph in charge. But consider what Joseph is learning. He's a leader who is first a servant. He has great responsibility, but it's not his stuff. He's a steward. He is entrusted. Let that sink in for anyone to whom God gives power or money or authority. It's not your stuff. You are entrusted, and a servant must be found faithful. And indeed, Joseph was. Verse 6. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. So things are going pretty well, but watch out. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. Pause there. Turns out Joseph's a good-looking lad. Hey, hard work makes you attractive. And there are benefits. Joseph is a favorite everywhere he goes. He's just one of those guys who has it. But there are also challenges to beauty. Joseph was favorite in a very unwanted and dangerous way. Verse 7. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." Whoa, red alert. Danger, Joe Jacobson. This is Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potts. And my guess is that she was considerably more attractive than an old teapot. Joe's in trouble. Temptation. That starts with T and rhymes with P, and that stands for Potiphar, who will kill you if you do this. But Mrs. Potty could kill you if you don't. Notice here the trials of beauty. Good looks can open doors, but many of those doors are traps. People who love you for your looks offer an empty and dangerous love. Back to verse 8. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph, my man. I like this guy. Joseph has just been propositioned by a beautiful woman. He is young and single, good-looking and strong. Now let's be real about this. That's got to be tempting. But also get real about the stakes. Everything is on the line. And that goes for you listening. Some of you are at the place of temptation. Some of you are staring adultery in the face, and she's looking pretty cute, or he. But measure carefully what is at stake. Your marriage, your children, your ministry, your calling. All hang on this, on you and your response. If you're single, the stakes are no smaller. Your entire future is on the line. It is no coincidence that some of the Bible's greatest names are made or broken in the moment of sexual temptation. David, Samson, Solomon, all failed. You can throw away 40 years in a few minutes. So what are you going to do? Joseph refused, plain and simple. And watch his response. My master has entrusted me with everything. Joseph honors trust, and he says, you are his wife. State the truth out loud. But although he acknowledges the practical wrongness of it all, his refusal is founded on one thing, the fear of God. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Memorize that verse. Write it on a card and keep it in your pocket. Teach your kids. I taught mine when they just barely hit puberty. We call it a shield of faith verse. Shield as in save your life. Verse 10. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, or even be with her. Now there is wisdom. Keep your path far from her. If you don't want to fall into sin, quit hanging around the trap doors, you dummy. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. But sometimes temptation comes after you. Verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Oh boy, run, Joseph, run. When sin comes knocking, run. Don't stop to reason. Reason is done. Just get out. And God promises there is always a way out. Walk away and go talk to someone godly. Now. Joseph is out, but Mrs. Potts has the cloak. Oh no, not the cloak. What is it with Joseph and his outerwear? First the coat, now this. And don't miss the connection. Jesus had a garment taken from him as well. So she takes the cloak and accuses Joseph of attacking her. When she tells her husband, he burns with anger. And Joseph goes to prison. No trial, no due process, can't even make his case. Just prison. Stinking outerwear. But then something amazing happens. At the end of verse 20, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Wait, what? With him? Yep. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Wow, that's amazing. And the chapter ends with the phrase that pervades this whole story. The Lord was with Joseph. Awesome. Story's not over yet. Read chapter 39, and I'll meet you right back here for what happens next.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.